The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to another Kiefer and Curry right here on TKR, Tony Curry Radio, a little radio station we put together, actually a big radio station we put together about 4 or 5 years ago. And of course, Kip came on board a couple of years ago, and it's only made that station stronger and better. We also do, of course, ABC 3340 is a starting lineup on Saturday mornings, 10:30 to 11 o'clock. We talk about college football and everything, and it's sports, plus celebrities and more. You never know who's going to show up on the starting lineup.
That's right.
I was at the Def Leppard concert on Wednesday night, and thanks to Jake Wilson and, of course, the five people at Live Nation, I can't afford these $400 or $500 tickets. And it doesn't matter who you're going to see. If you want great seats, you're going to pay for them, right? You can sit up. Sit up in the boonies and pay $35-$40. Anyway, so I was sitting in some really great seats, and again, thanks to those fine folks for taking care of me. And of course, when you're sitting in a really good section, you're probably going to be sitting around some pretty highfalutin people. And I was just so happened sitting next to the drummer of the Zac Brown Band, who's a good friend of mine, Chris Fryer. I hadn't seen him in years, so it was great to catch up with him. And he will join the show in the next couple of weeks, talking about what Zac Brown Band is. And I was kind of surprised. You know, normally you would think that if you were a chef and you have the night off, you would want to stay home and maybe just to get some takeout, you know, just kind of stick around. You wouldn't want to go back out to another restaurant and certainly not sit back in the kitchen and see how they work. And so I was kind of surprised. Now, the drummer for Def Leppard lost an arm in a car wreck. It was 15, 20, 25 years ago. It's been a long time. And anyway, he plays the drums with his feet. So he's got one of his snare drums on the floor. It's not the snare drum itself is not on the floor, but he's got a thing where he can actually use his foot, a foot pedal, to use as a snare. He doesn't actually use his feet to play the drums. He's not a monkey,
but he's got
one arm that he uses, his right arm. And then his left arm is gone. Then he uses his left foot and his right foot, one for the bass and then one for the, and it's an amazing thing. And so as he's a drummer, I could see where he would be just amazed to want to go see that live. I've seen it 10, 12 times. And I still, he does a drum solo and it's the most amazing thing you'll ever see. But that band's been through a lot of issues. Guitar player committed suicide, and they lost. And he was just Steve Clark was a huge part of that band. Then, of course, their drummer loses his arm, and you're thinking to yourself, "Good Lord, man, maybe God's telling us something here. Maybe it's time to hang it up." When your drummer loses, he's not
a Def Leppard fan.
Yeah, when your drummer loses his arm, that's pretty direct. It's a pretty direct message right there to say, "Hey, listen,
man."
But they have come back, and they are 50 years into it, and they're doing fantastic. So, I wanted to talk to you this morning about something. I don't do Facebook as often as I should. I will admit to that right now. Considering the business I'm in, it's free advertising. I know that anytime I get on Facebook, Instagram, X, that I'm going to get some type of recall on it. And any recall on what I do is good. If I can hit one more person than I did yesterday, that's a great thing. The reason I don't is twofold. First of all, I've been hacked several times, and some of the things that have been put up on my site, quite frankly, were just disgusting. And I was kind of like, you know what? I'm not doing this anymore. I'm just not, you know, it's just too easy to hack, and I'm just not doing it anymore. And it really bothered me. And the second reason is I went through a quite messy breakup, and you're just putting your information out there is basically what you're doing. You're just throwing all your stuff out there. And quite frankly, I didn't want anybody to know what I was into. I wasn't doing anything wrong, but everything can be scrutinized. And particularly when you're following other people or you're re-messaging people or you're saying, hey, I really like that post. Then you find out that person who you liked yesterday is actually a racist from 3 years ago. And that comes back to haunt you. That shit is like, it's ridiculous. I mean, and so I'm kind of like, you know, I'm just going to kind of temper it, lay down, cool out a little bit. I put our shows up. I do everything I can for TKR. But certainly from a personal standpoint, I have cooled off because I used to put everything out there. I mean, everything.
Me too.
I know you didn't. You share a lot of things that quite frankly are really personable, And anytime you listen to jocks, and I know that you're on that station now, but anytime you listen to jocks or any of the race stations, I was on Classic Rock then. And if you just listened to my show, you knew who I was. You knew my family. Mm-hmm. You knew what I liked to do for fun. You knew where I was going to be almost every night of the week. So, you know, I thought, you know, at the age of 59 now, maybe it's time to pull that back just a little bit instead of look at me, look at me, look at me, look at someone else for a little while. Anyway, I saw an interesting story on there from a third party who I keep in touch with through Facebook. And it's funny because when Facebook was originally made, it was to keep in touch with family and friends from across the country. Mm-hmm.
Which that was the idea. It's not that now, but there's still some element of that.
This
is a fascinating subject because Facebook has gone wrong in a lot of ways.
Which I thought was just a wonderful idea. I mean, it really was. And to be able to keep in touch with people from high school. And of course, there's a group for everything. Everyone out there is just a stray sheep. They're looking for something to latch on to so you can have a Facebook group, you know, 53-year-old widowed bowlers who have pythons that like to play bingo on Thursday. You can find a group for that. I mean, you can find a group for that. A lot of people.
Sure.
And everybody wants to latch on to something that's bigger than themselves, makes them feel good. They can, you know, give information, blah, blah. So I saw this story about this guy, and I guess I could tell him his name. I used to call him Froggy.
Okay. Uh-huh.
I've known him for a long period of time from the bar business. He used to be a photographer. And strange guy. Photographers are weird. Okay, photographers are weird. I don't care what would you say. I've got a couple of photographer friends of mine. They're good friends of mine. They're just a little off. Every photographer is a little off. Anytime you do something where you're working alone for a long period of time, you're off a little bit. Whether you like it or not, you just are. So photographer's always been a little strange. And this is kind of a big guy. I had a really big beard. And every time I'd go out to a bar somewhere, I would see him. I would see him almost every single place I would. And he would walk around, take pictures of people, and then he would try to sell his pictures.
Hmm.
And several times, you know, I had several beers with him, and he was into some other things. My wife and I decided we wanted to take a hot air balloon ride, or actually I gave her a hot air balloon ride for a birthday gift one year. And he was running something with a friend. He's like, oh, I got a friend of mine that's got a hot air balloon. Let me set you up. And I said, great. So I knew him through that. And so he's on Facebook and he's been on there now for 20, 25 years. And I don't follow, I may follow, I don't know if I follow him or not. I really don't. I just follow a bunch of people at a time. And then when I get to 5,000, I get rid of 1,000, I bring another 1,000 in. I don't know. If I've got like more than 10 mutual friends, I figure that I probably know them from somewhere and I'll accept them. If I don't have any mutual friends, I don't follow them. I don't know how else to put it. Because of what we do and what we've done in our lives, our industries, a lot of people think they know who we are. And I don't want to sit there and deny somebody. And then they're pissed off at me. So you know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's like, whatever. So I probably follow him. He probably follows me anyway. For the most part, a guy that, a little off, a little strange, but never had an issue with him. Never thought that he was a freak. You know, he was just a bar guy. And so anyway, he's been on Facebook now for about 20 years. And I only know this because of the mugshot. And evidently he's been on Facebook, soliciting, individuals, for him to tutor. He's a tutor. And I didn't know him as a teacher. I didn't know that he was a teacher. I didn't even know that he taught. But he's like, if your kid needs math tutoring or any type of tutoring in school, I used to be a teacher, blah, blah, blah. I can take your child on and I can teach them whatever they're being, deficient in.
Mm-hmm.
Evidently, a child, I don't know what the age of this individual is, evidently went to, his place, a common known place, I guess. I don't know if it was a school or his apartment or whatever. And was sexually assaulted.
Oh boy!
And so he's been charged with abuse of an individual, abuse of a minor, of a child, blah blah blah, and of course using this rouge of being some type of teacher or in order, which to me is just really absolutely disgusting. He's in
the worst.
He's in prison right now, and I can only assume that he's guilty only based on what I've seen. And it bothers me because I haven't had dinner with this guy. I don't know this guy. I haven't been on vacation with this guy, but I do who he is and he knows who I am. And yeah. Anybody that goes in the bar, because anybody's been out of the bars, Hoppers, Jitterbugs, Lulu's, whatever, the last 20 years has met this guy, has seen this guy because he was at every place. That's what he did for a living. And to know that he's a photographer just goes to show just how freaky. I mean, if they went through his apartment, there's no telling what they'd find. And so a third party friend of mine reached out and he said, man, can you believe, and this friend of mine has kept in touch with him almost weekly. And he said, can you believe that Froggy has gotten arrested for this, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, can you? And he's like, well, come to think of it, you know, it's one of those things where when you know somebody pretty well, you're willing to look past the red flags and you just realize that we're all different. We're all screwed up. We all are sinners. We all have issues. But for the most part, you know, he said, I knew him as a pretty nice guy. He knew my family. This third party is telling me he knew my kids. You know, I followed him on Facebook. I liked his post. And now I come to find out that I've been commiserating with a guy who likes to sexually assault children, which is like bottom of the barrel. Anyone that'll tell you that if you ever go into prison, you can be a murderer and they'll leave you alone. But if you mess with children, you're going to get killed. That is like the bottom of the barrel. And I wanted to talk to you about this because you and I have known each other for a long period of time. I only know only the most wonderful things about you, not only because you put them out front, because that's who you are. And I hope you feel the same way about me. We've all changed. We all do strange things.
So you want to know, frankly, if I'm a child molester?
No, I know that's not for sure. But, you know, people want to bring stuff up for me from my 20s, from my 30s. And really, social media is one of those areas because social media started almost, say 20 years ago. We've certainly seen a lot of individuals who, have posted things in the past that have changed. We've changed. Maybe they liked a post that was anti-Semitic and then all of a sudden they're running for an office and like, wait a minute, this person hates Jews. What the hell? And you're like, it was 15 years ago. I just liked a post, didn't know who they were, and it comes back to haunt them. And there is no time table on that. There's not. I mean, if it was 20 years ago, it's still usable.
And
we do change. And there are lots of things that I did back in my 20s and 30s that I wish I hadn't done, which I wish I could change. I think there's a lot of people that feel that way. We're all regrettable about things we do in our life. This is certainly, and I'm not even comparing that to what this is. This is just absolutely disgusting and an aberration of what it is to be a human being. There should be special things that happen to this individual in hell if it's true. But I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about, I guess, how life changes and how I'm always under the assumption, and I'd love to get your philosophical and poetic feelings about this, because I know that you've got some deep nerves and bones that ride this undercurrent of life. For the most part, I always believe we're never staying in one place. I always tell my recovery group, you're either recovering or relapsing. You're either moving left or you're right. You're either going in one direction, which is the good direction, or you're leaning the other direction to an area that you've already been. You don't want to go there again. And it's like that in life. I think every single day I try to do a little bit better today than I did yesterday, and I should do better tomorrow than I did today. And unfortunately, for most of us, who the more people we get to know and the more spiritual we become, hopefully the more religious we become, hopefully the more we get to know God more intimately and the God and our Lord and Savior, we change for the good. We realize that we've done some really dumb things, and we've said some really dumb things in the past that we're like, yeah, that was when I was really young and stupid. And thank goodness, you know, a 3-year-old could fall down a flight of stairs and live. A 35-year-old can't. There's a reason for that. We're more flexible. We're more forgivable. We're more understanding when we're younger because we're young and stupid and dumb. Until we get smarter, we get more reverent, we get more wisdom in our brains, much like yourself. And you realize, hey, this is going to hurt someone's feelings. I won't say or do this. And I just kind of want to get your thoughts on that. If you've had anybody in your life that particularly, and I can think of, let me tell you something. I was sitting there saying photographers, radio people are fucked up. I know a lot of radio people. I saw a lot of radio people at the concert the other night. I love them. They're weird. They're strange. I'm one of them. I've done it for 45 years, but we're just a little off. I'm not saying that we're molesters. Okay. I'm not saying that at all, but we're just a little off. We're just a little off. And that's what makes us really good at our craft and the gift of what we do in front of a microphone. It really is. It's important. I don't know anyone who's normal who talks into a microphone every day like I do. And that goes for myself too, but just want to get your thoughts on that. I thought about you as soon as I heard this story and I thought, man, I'd love to get your philosophical and your reverent and spiritual feelings on what I've just discussed a little bit.
Well, what you just said is real pertinent to the discussion, because when you do this for a living, or you do it as I've done, and you've done a lot more than me, because this was not my primary career. This is what I wanted to do. Of course, when I was a very young man, I knew I was going to become the greatest play-by-play sports announcer in the history of the endeavor. Ever. And the way life kind of changes and different roads open up. And, I did not have the opportunity to pursue a conventional college situation and come out of there in position to get one of those jobs. So I had to go another route. My father had left my mother when I was just starting the eighth grade. And it really kind of plunged our family into a financial direction that was challenging. So I didn't get to pursue. Kind of my plan was to go somewhere and get my degree in broadcast journalism. But that never materialized. I took some college, but had the opportunity to start working. So with that aspect of my life being changed, it worked out beautifully, because my dad was such a big fan of any kind of gambling racing entity. I had told you several times on the show, I was basically raised as a little guy, going to the horse races every Saturday with my dad. I learned to read from the Daily Racing Form, not from C Spot and Run and Dick and Jane, like most people. And I learned to talk even by listening to announcers on football and baseball. And I was obsessed with staying up late and listening to games from WLW Cincinnati, yes. KMOX from St. Louis. Harry Carey and Jack Buck were my primary. Yes. Mentors. So people say, well, you were raised predominantly in Atlanta. You don't have a Southern accent. Well, I didn't learn to talk from those people. I learned to talk by listening to my idols and even personalities on television, Walter Cronkite's and David Brinkley's and Chet Huntley's back in the mid to late 60s. Anyway, the point is, to make your point, if you do this and you're comfortable with it, and my dad had gotten me tied up with some executives in the racing business, and it was a departure from the way I wanted to go, but I could do radio immediately if I took the job as the track announcer in Memphis at the Southland Greyhound track, which was the biggest one in the country at the time. So at 22 years old, I was the voice of Southland Racing. Wow. Because they had an opening. I sent a tape and they said, you'd be great. So I was doing radio right off the bat. And this career of going all around the country at all kinds of different markets as a racing, starting off as a marketing person and getting into upper management, I became the general manager here in Birmingham at 35 years old. And when I came here, that one of the first people that I was doing radio in all kinds of different markets, but mostly racing related shows and promotional shows and results shows and things of that nature, wanting to branch into sports. And a great friend of yours and a legend in Birmingham radio, Herb Winches, was the second guy I met, other than people that I was going to work with, when I came to Birmingham in 1992, and Herb had just started the Sports Talk 690, one of the first 24-hour, 7-day-a-week sports stations in the country. Yep.
That was before ESPN, before all that, man.
Everything. Yeah, absolutely. And it was a new concept and a few people had developed it, but Herb convinced then Dick Broadcasting that owned those stations. And that's this right before you quit. That was 92. You came what in the mid to late 90s?
No, I came in 88. I was there for the whole thing.
You were already there. Yep. So you were already at
I came in when Dick bought those radio stations.
Yeah, okay. Sure, yeah. So you were already on hand. Yep. I knew we had, because I wasn't on all the time, but whenever Herb or Ben on Sports Talk 690 weren't available, I got the spot.
So, I remember seeing you all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. I got to start in conventional sports like I wanted. And ever since then, and that was, and I was here in Birmingham till 98. I went to Wichita, Kansas. I had a regular sports radio gig there because I was negotiating all my advertising. And I said, oh, by the way, you might have a better shot at getting this business if you could find me a spot in your rotation. So I kind of parlayed that into what I always wanted to do. The reason I'm kind of waxing poetic on all that, because you said that just by the nature of what we do, where you're kind of putting your personality and your yourself out there. And like you said, people that listen to you kind of develop that, you know, feeling of comfort where I know this guy. And I think when I was introduced to social media, and it was around, my boys were doing it years before I ever started. But my first Facebook exposure was probably, I don't know, in the early 2000s. And it was just an extension of me pretty much putting everything out there. Yep. And my friends would cringe and say, do you have to give that much detail? And, you know, good grief, you know, but I never really worried about the aspect that some people were downright paranoid, you know, to think that somebody might hear some of their innermost thoughts. But if you're a broadcaster, you have to give that part of yourself to some extent. I never really worried about offending anybody or saying anything off color, because as a human being in my regular life, I've always had a really good filter on that. I don't want to hurt people's feelings. I don't want to, tromp on their beliefs or, you know, whatnot. I'm not controversial. I do have respect for the opinions and the different ideas that are out there. Everybody's different. I have occasionally backed off of some harsher Facebook posts or other social media now with Twitter and whatnot. Although on X, used to be Twitter, but now it's X. On X, I will be a lot more opinionated because that's what that format really is. Mm-hmm. Facebook was, as you said, originally the idea that Mark Zuckerberg stole from those two brothers at Harvard was basically to keep everybody kind of in touch with what was going on socially and everything. And Tony, it's been an amazing thing for me because I've reconnected with so many people from my past, and I'll always have that commonality of moving to Atlanta as a fifth grader with my family right when Atlanta was taking off, and I had so many great relationships. It was an idyllic childhood. We've got a big class reunion coming up this year. I can't wait to get to my best friends. I just spent 2 days down in South Alabama with on a golf trip, and it's my four best friends, and I met every one of them in the eighth grade. So these are friends for 52 years now. It's pretty cool. So I guess my point is I have never really been that worried about it. I can't think of anybody that, and I've got, I think right now, 1,100 Facebook friends or something in that vicinity. Probably 35 or 40% of them are from that era in the mid to late 70s when I was a high school guy. And it's all that Atlanta community and people that I still know in Atlanta that know others. A lot of Birmingham, because I've been here the predominant part of that. I left from 98 to 2004, but came back and went right back to Jocks and started the first week I was back on a Saturday morning show. So I've been involved over there for a long time, but I don't know. I've never really had personally a problem with kind of putting myself out there, and I never really worry about stepping on anybody because I do have that filter to prevent it. I can't think of anybody that I have had in my fold that has done something hideous or heinous that you go, boy, I mean, there are people that make you mad that, you know, you say, well, I'm not going to enthusiastically embrace this person anymore or go out of my way. But I don't think I've ever dropped anybody in my entire, I guess probably 2006. So I've probably been on social media 20 years now, and I don't think I've ever kicked anybody off as a friend of mine on any of those platforms.
Yeah. One of the reasons that we have this platform is followers. You want to have as many followers as possible. You want to be an influencer because it makes us look good.
Yeah.
Period. Had I started, I remember a guy coming to me. This is when Facebook just started out. This guy was bizarre, and he would show up at all my gigs with a video camera. And I went bowling with my family one night, and he showed up. And I said, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I'm taking a video of your family bowling. I'm going to post it on your Tony Curry page." He wanted to work my Tony Curry page. And I said, "Man, this is no, you're not going to be." You know, he's like, "No, this is what Facebook is going to be. This is what it's all about. The people are going to want to know what you do in your spare time. We're not going to. You don't have to say anything or do anything. But I'm just going to mention the fact that Tony Curry was out bowling with his family. It's going to be good for you because it's going to look like you're a good father. Blah 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 blah." And at the time, I was like, "No, that's ridiculous." And it's true. Now we're at a ball game and you're going to post a picture. I got a picture of my kid at the concert tonight, and he was like, "You to post that." And I said, "The old Tony would have, cause I want people to know that, hey, me and my son are at a concert." But why? Why?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, why? Why do I need to tell people that I'm at a concert with my, so I get a pat on the back? So people, "Oh, you're a great dad," or "Wow, what a great concert," or because the majority of the people that are replying to me are people that I don't know. You don't have 1,100 friends, Kip. You don't. You may have 1,100 people in your life that you think
you
know.
Well, you're right about that because,
but I mean, not real friends.
Absolutely. I know because this happens all the time because I do scrutinize anybody who's I have never said. That's another thing. I have never sent a friend request to anyone. Yeah. I only consider the ones I get. But yeah. I've never reached out and tried to befriend anybody on Facebook.
I haven't either. I mean, I have never done that. I don't know what that says about us. Because
they come to us.
Exactly. You know? They come to us. We're the center, right? So, I mean,
your point, every day on Facebook, you get, it's, you know, Tom Howells and Melissa.
And they respond to everything you put out and you don't know who the hell they are.
Exactly. Every day, Tony, when it says whose birthday it is, I won't say 90% of the time, but at least 50% of the time I said, "Who the hell is that?"
So I have no idea. So we're not sharing anything that anyone's on social media doesn't acknowledge. But it makes you feel good. I got 5,000 friends only because I've accepted every friend request I've ever gotten.
Yeah. See, I look at them because now there's so much robotic crap out there.
Yeah.
If you grant a friend request sight unseen, that's why you've been hacked a lot, because what they can do then, they can access your friend list and send them a bunch of garbage.
Yeah.
And that's how it all steamrolls. And you can just see it from a mile away, because if you get a friend request, you need to click on that person's name and look at the site. And usually it's nothing. There's no posts. It's usually a dormant account that these robotic things take over. And it's just, so-and-so updated their it's nothing but updates of profile pictures, and it's the same two or three pictures. Yep. And at the bottom, it says born March 14th, 1993. You can see the you can see the dormant sites that they've tried to acclimate. So you got to be careful about that. The other big scam on Facebook right now that's driving me crazy, if I do make a post, I get at least two robotic replies, usually one from like an Asian woman's name. Mm-hmm. And now they've gotten smarter and they're starting to put, you know, Barbara Smith. And it's, I've been seeing you come up on my feed regularly. Yep. And I've tried to send you a friend request and it's not going through. Can you send me one? Because if you send them a friend request and they respond, they're in. Or contact me on Messenger. It's not real. They give you all this flattering. You just seem like such an interesting person. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll do a post on saying how bad the Braves suck. And I'm going, you are such an intriguing person. This is fake. This is bold crap.
Oh, and what I'm getting now is I'm getting phone numbers on texts. I'm getting, are you showing up tonight at 8:00?
Yeah.
Oh, and of course, I don't know who it is. And it's taken me three or four times to realize this. And so I don't even respond. And then they'll say, are you going to text me back? I said, need to know. Are you going to, is because Mary says you're going to be there at 8:00 tonight. It's enough for you to say, hey, you have a wrong number. And then the minute you make that, I don't even know how it works on text. I don't know if I'm responding to them. I don't know if I'm giving them an in anywhere, but anyway, I can only assume it's human trafficking. And the only reason I know that, and it's disgusting, but it's always a female. It's always a female that's really forward and happy to send you a picture of themselves. It's always a woman who looks like she's a slut or a prostitute. She got the big lips and the long hair, and they're always from California. I'm out in California. Sure. I work in textiles. What do you do for a living? And I'm thinking to myself, and yeah, as a guy, because guys get it, we get it in the penis and we get it in the wallet. If it doesn't have anything to do with money or our dick, we don't care. But if it has something to do with those two things, and it has something to do with both, then we're all in. So when a woman's writing us and we're saying, and she said, well, I want to, can you send me a picture of yourself? And I say, yeah, my name is Tony Curry. Just get on the internet. You can see pictures of me everywhere. They'll even go as far as to do that. Sometimes their English will be broken or the text will be, it's not pronounced correctly or the pronunciation's wrong on it. It's like, I've actually had, cause sometimes I'm like, yeah, I'll have a conversation with this person. Just what the hell, you know, maybe this is, you know, and I'll go, yeah. So what do you, and then, you know, maybe a month later, I'll get another text from how have you been? And I'm kind of like, you know, are you so damn bored with your life that you inexcusably, uninterruptedly, mistakenly texted the wrong individual, and now you want to have a relationship with that person who lives 4,000 miles. Think how stupid that is. Think how dumb that. This is not a When Harry Met Sally. This is not Sleepless in Seattle. This is not a movie where we met one day because I texted the wrong number. And next thing you know, we met in the mall and we had lunch and we've been married. This is not a movie. It's not real. This does not happen. The other one is when you get these celebrity brands where they're off by like one letter and you think that Jay Barker, I get one from Sarah Barker all the time. It's the only reason I bring it up because I know that these celebrities get their things hacked all the time, but they're like, hey, I really appreciate you coming to my show the other night. And I spotted you in the crowd. I know you're one of my big followers. And if you blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, how, and it just so happened I was at that concert. Maybe they got a phone list from Live Nation. I don't know, but it's just enough of a connection where you think to yourself, wow, I must be someone really special. Like, you know, like Barry Manilow is really sending me a text. He's really following me. And it's like, yep. You know, not to get away from my initial thoughts but you did a great job at circling back around because I think
I circled too much because I didn't really address
direction you took this is more fascinating. I think it has a lot to do with a lot more other people. I do think there's a lot of people out there that do use social media, not so much for what it was made for, but because it's a look at me, look at me, look at me. I feel good. Oh my gosh.
It's that, I can't believe. And it's a, and so much of it's a, it's an attempt to scam you.
Yeah.
And I don't like being that person that everything I get that I can't readily identify, I'm immediately suspicious but you have to be, Tony, because that's what's going on there. If you get a message from some unknown woman on like Messenger, and I got one 2 days ago. I am so wicked tonight. How about you, Kip? And I was going, no, I don't know if I've ever been wicked. I don't really know what wicked Kip would look like or feel like. But you know, it's all a scam. Anybody that's not totally familiar to you that is trying to, you know, say something provocative or give you a compliment, it's too bad we live in a world where you have to immediately dismiss that because it's not sincere. They're going to try to scam you any way they can.
There's no doubt. We got to go. As a matter of fact, I just accidentally hit my video there. We got to get going because you and I have another
show. That was it. Yeah,
no, that was it. We got another show coming up here. K4 Wins.
We do.
Well, with Kai Gregory and, of course, your son, Case Kiefer, the executive director, editor of the Las Vegas Sun. We do a great gambling show, so make sure you check out that show on TKR, not to mention, of course, Kip's other show, Need to Know, which is one of my favorite shows. I get a chance to actually listen to that, post it, and so I get front row for that show every single week, and sometimes you'll even take some of my ideas and use them, which I thought was great. You did that, you did that last week. It's fantastic. If you got any ideas, info@tonycurryradio.net, make sure you send them to Kip. Give me your website, your information, because you're on everything. What is the website that people need to go to follow you on everything you do?
Well, we've got a brand new media related kqshows@gmail.com is the best way to get in touch. The KQ Shows website, kqshows.com, gives you all the archives of everything I do. So that's a good spot to go. But if you want to get in touch in terms of email, kqshows@gmail.com.
There you go. You got any ideas and you want them to talk about whatever you want to talk about, make sure you check out that site. And again, on Saturday mornings, 10:30, 11 o'clock, it is ABC.
Just don't tell me you're wicked right now. Hey.
You are wicked. Kip, thank you so much. I'll see you in a few minutes.
All right, Tony.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.